And now, it's the Florida Spectacular Podcast, hosted by Kathy Celestri. Find Kathy on Twitter and Instagram at Kathy Celestri, CathySalustri, on Facebook at Celestri Kathy, and visit her website, greatfloridaroadtrip.com. Now, discover a Florida you never knew existed.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this edition of the Florida Spectacular. I'm your host, Kathy Celestri. Joining me this week is Stephanie Schuster, who is the publisher, owner, founder, guru of WDW Magazine. Stephanie, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kathy. I do have to correct you right off the bat because...
Oh, that's always good.
Many people don't know this. I'm actually not the founder of WDW Magazine.
Well, then get out. We don't want to talk to you.
I know. I was there from the founding day, but it was actually Carl Trent, who was the original founder of the magazine. He started Dad's Guide to WDW back in 2008, and then I started writing for him in 2011. I was his first employee, and... In 2013, we started the magazine together. In 2015, I quit my day job to pursue blogging and content creation and magazine stuff full time. And we grew the company to where it is now, which is 12 full-time employees, over 50 freelancers all around the world. And last year, 2021, my husband and I bought the company from Carl so he could go off into the sunset and retire. So... got to give credit where credit is due.
I stand corrected, and I actually am standing right now. So I stand corrected, and sorry about that, but
that's okay.
That's all interesting because I was well aware of the magazine before then, but I feel like, I don't know. You just seem like you've always been there, but you have a,
definite, I have always been there.
Definite love affair with Disney, right?
Yes, I love Disney so much. Would you like me to just tell you all the reasons why I
well, no,
love
let's
it
back
can't get
up. Let's back up because I do have to ratchet it back a little bit because I know a lot of the people who listen to this podcast who love Florida might have different feelings about Disney. Sure. When I was in grad school and I have a graduate degree in Florida studies, there were quite a few people who were like, "Well, Disney destroyed Florida." And we're not going to talk about that because I actually don't agree with that. I think Disney's done a lot of good for Central Florida. And I think that there would just be condos and shopping malls everywhere if Disney hadn't bought up the land. And of course, you know, I'm a big proponent of the Disney Wilderness Preserve that's managed by the Nature Conservancy. So we're not going to talk about that. But what I do want to talk about is the Florida part of Disney World. And I want to talk about... just some of the things you find really exciting about being able to write about Walt Disney World in the lens of Florida, of course.
In the lens of Florida. Well, I mean, I think something right off the bat is that I don't know if I would have ever gone to Florida if it weren't for Disney. Like Mickey was the first thing that drew me into going to Florida. But in my repeated trips, I've grown to love Florida so much more. Going to the beach. I have not explored all of Florida. I would like to explore even more. But like going to the beach, exploring some of those nature areas that you were discussing. You wrote a wonderful article for us about that, by the way. And I think that I'm not the only one. I think a lot of people are maybe drawn in by the theme parks and then they realize that there's so much more to Florida. Even little things like at the Epcot festivals, they usually feature Florida produce at specific booths and they make a big deal about it and tell you all about like these strawberries are from Plant City or something along those lines. They have specific breweries. Whenever my husband and I are there, we always try to sample any of the beers or other spirits at the festivals that are specifically from Florida that we might not be able to get if we're not in the state. They have artisans from local companies coming in and presenting things at Disney Springs and at the Epcot festivals. And I absolutely love how they're bringing those little bits of Florida in, and I hope they continue to do that.
Well, that's a really salient point. And that's one of the things I really like that I think is not something a lot of people realize. I think of Disney as almost being like stealth Florida fans, because you're absolutely right. If you go to Epcot during any of their festivals and they have the what they call the American Pavilion open, you know, they have different pavilions open at different countries. One of the greatest things they have is so much Florida produce, like the watermelon feta salad with the pickled red onions. Not that I'm getting very specific, but
that's one of my favorites. I make it at home all summer long.
But it's not just that. When you go, say, to the garden, the international, and I just blanked on the name of it.
Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival.
Yes. Everything that you see walking around there is actually encouraging a lot of things that as Floridians, we need to be really engaged in, like xeriscaping, which is not rocks and cactuses. It's the right plant that can survive on rainfall in your environment. Yeah. They talk a lot about native plants and pollinators and not something you might associate with Mickey Mouse, but they talk a lot about planting for wildlife, using native plants, using plants that don't have unusual water requirements for your area. Yeah. And it's really very much a sense of trying to teach people to coexist. And because everybody, I know everybody comes to Disney from all over the world, but as a Floridian, trust me, what you see at those festivals are annual pass holders who live in the state.
Yeah.
They are preaching to Floridians. And it's really nice to see because, you know, they have a lot of power. They have a lot of influencer power. And if someone, you know, if your neighbor tells you to plant natives, okay, well, your neighbor might be an asshole. But if Mickey Mouse tells you that you should plant for the butterflies, then people, oddly enough, are more likely to do it.
Absolutely.
And, but also the local beers. It's actually kind of funny to for me because I'm getting the sense you might not live in Florida, Stephanie.
I live in just outside of Toronto, actually.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes. So one of my points is about nature and conservation and just experiencing that Florida wildlife, even if I'm only down for a couple days and don't get to go explore maybe the Everglades or somewhere like that, even being somewhere like Animal Kingdom and getting all those like Floridian tropical plants and things, it's really nice for me to be able to get out and like go walking through nature somewhere that it's not just pine trees. Pine trees are great, but like I get enough of them at home.
Well, we have a different type of pine tree down here, but I'll save that lecture for another time.
Okay.
So that's actually interesting. It's a really, there's a really interesting point that you make is that I notice it when we walk around Disney and we see some of the theming they've done, for example, some of the things they do to theme things like South Pacific at the Polynesian or a lot of times at, Animal Kingdom or Animal Kingdom Lodge or Jumbo House. I look at some of those plants and I am by no means a plant expert, but I do, I do have a fairly natural landscape and I look at them and I'm like, well, those are just Florida plants. And what they're doing a lot is accenting. Accenting what is in Florida. It's just the way that they're positioning it. And they're certainly not all native. I know they're not all native, but
it's really interesting.
It's very local.
And even somewhere like Pandora, World of Avatar over at Disney's Animal Kingdom, they certainly have created plants that are not like the artificial plants that are meant to really represent Pandora. But the Imagineers went out of their way.
You're telling me those aren't real?
Some of them are real, Kathy, but the Imagineers went out of their way to figure out what plants that would grow well in Florida, whether they were native or not, would thrive in that atmosphere and kind of give that alien landscape. Obviously we're focusing on Florida today, but I've been to most of the Disney parks throughout the world, and something on a recent trip to California I really noticed about Galaxy's Edge is the foliage in Disneyland is very different than the foliage in Galaxy's Edge in Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I have to assume that that's based on what will grow better in those environments. It's a lot more tropical in Florida and then a lot more like cactusy desert-based plants over in California.
Issue. There's a definite water issue in of California. Course. So what's interesting, Stephanie, when I was in college, I had a professor. He was wonderful, Dr. Jerry Smith. And one of his former students had gone to work at the Disney tree farm. Now, I don't even know if they still have the tree farm, but she was working there and he took us on a field trip. And it was out off US 27 on what I would call the backside of Disney, which is now, of course, very populated. But in the early 90s, it was not. And we went down a couple of back roads and we went through this thing. You wouldn't have known it was Disney. It was not themed. It was their tree farm. And she took us on a walking tour throughout mm-hmm. it. And what it was the Florida scrub, which is pretty much high, well-drained, sandy soil, very, very few trees, a lot of underbrush. And she took us through this property and she was showing us not only how they worked with the landscaping at Disney World, mm-hmm. which is fascinating in and of itself, but she was showing this whole natural area where they had bobcat, they had scrub jay, they had all mm-hmm. these animals crossing through, and it was just a privately owned tract of land. Yeah. And one of the things we hear a lot about in Florida is, well, Walt Disney bought up all this land mm-hmm. and he did it in secret. Well, if you go back through the records, it wasn't that secret. I mean, anybody yeah. with half a brain knew what was going on.
If there was social media in those days, it would have been no secret at all.
It was even the names of some of the companies he used, mm-hmm. like the shell companies. It was not high security here. It was things, I can't remember some of the names, but it was stuff like MK Mouse or something, you know, yeah. not exactly. Yeah. But one of the things he did is because he said this is a oft-told story in Anaheim, built right up to the front gates, and he wanted mm-hmm. a buffer.
Yeah.
And he has a nice, the Walt Disney Company has a nice buffer around the property. And what people probably don't realize is that buffer is also home to a lot of endangered and threatened species. I mean, yeah. he essentially, not because of this, I'm not even trying to say that Walt Disney was doing it because he cared about the scrub jay or even knew about the scrub jay.
Sure.
It was an unintended consequence, and that's okay. I mean, good is good, right? So yep. he has this whole buffer. And the tree farm was a great example of that. Now, what I also thought was cool about the tree farm, I have no idea if this is still true, but they used to have three plants for every mm-hmm. one plant, meaning that if there was a hibiscus, which mm-hmm. is probably not a great example. I don't know if I've ever seen a hibiscus at Disney World, but if they had an hibiscus bush, they would have one on property on, mm-hmm. on stage, so to speak. And then they would have two others.
Yep.
So it was this huge thing. And if you think about that, probably a really great use of land as far as what else I see, because I've, you know, unlike you, I go to Disney way too often.
I don't know if they're, I could be there every day and I wouldn't say it's often enough.
Well, you know, I have the annual passes and I like to go because, mm-hmm. There's enough bad crap in the world that mm-hmm. I just like going somewhere where it's everybody's job to make sure everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
But, so I go there a lot, and what I've watched is things grow up around it. And I used to live in Kissimmee in college. I actually worked at Disney in college, not as part of the college program, just as a part-time job while I was in school. Mm-hmm. And I've watched it change. And the more I watch it change, the more I think that, again, unintended consequences, Walt Disney World really did an unintentionally good thing by buying up these huge tracts of land and wanting that buffer. So I'm obviously pro-Disney. Pretty sure I know where you fall down. So what's it like running the magazine and living in Canada? I mean, you've got something that's, mm-hmm. I know you, the magazine has branched out into Disney Cruise Lines, Disneyland mm-hmm. Resort,
yep.
but for years, the main thrust of it was the Walt Disney World Resort. What's that like? Absolutely. Does it make you want to move to Florida?
It does make me want to move to Florida quite a bit, actually. It's the main thrust is still Walt Disney World, and I think it always will be, even when we're exploring those other Disney properties. The fact of the matter is Disney World is way bigger than all those other properties. It has a lot more to offer. So there's a lot more for us to talk about and explore there. You know, my husband and I are actually thinking about maybe not permanently locating because we have other obligations and responsibilities up here, but possibly getting a condo or something just outside of Disney so we can be there even more often. We try to get down about every 2 months or so, but I would love to have a space where I could go down for 4 or 6 weeks at a time, come back to Canada, you know, winter in Florida, that would be great. So I don't have to deal with the snow.
Nobody's ever
here.
Done that before.
Never. We might be the youngest people to ever do it though.
You would be surprised. We have a lot of people who winter in Florida who are not retired.
That's wonderful. So it is, sometimes it's a challenge because there are things that I might want to do. Lots of times we'll get invited to media events. And if they're big media events, like something like the opening of Galaxy's Edge or the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, where they're multi-day events, we will definitely go down and be the people who attend those. But sometimes it's just like, oh, come for a restaurant opening or come for a 3-hour preview of what's going to happen at one of the Epcot festivals. Those are really fun. And if we're down there anyway, we will attend, but it's a lot of travel and a lot of expense for us to go down for a very small event. So we'll send one of our local reporters in those cases, but I would love to
feel
be down.
Feel free to send me anytime.
I will keep you in mind, Kathy, for sure. So, you know, that is a little bit of a struggle because we are like, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, 16 hours out of every single day, we're talking Disney, we're researching Disney, we're doing Disney all the time. It doesn't really feel that different for me. I don't think I'd be doing anything different if I was sitting in Winter Garden or something, typing and writing the blogs and editing the magazine or doing whatever it is that I'm doing. I think that I could do that from anywhere in the world just as well as I'm doing it now. The only difference is if I was local, I could pop into the park. Oh no, we don't have a photo of this specific Dole Whip. I'll go get it. But again, that's why we have reporters. I think that the biggest challenge.
You wouldn't want to edit from like Doc Lindsay's Hangar Bar or Trader Sam's. You wouldn't just sit there with your computer.
You know what? I would love that, but our editors, Rain and Tim, have now surpassed me. I used to be the editor. They're much more talented. I've been surpassed by everybody on our team for a long time. It was just Carl and me, and we did everything ourselves and we had no other help. And we've done a wonderful job, I think, of staffing up our team. Tatiana, who's our communications director, she knows so much more about social media than I do. So when I have to do something on social, I'm like, Tatiana, what exactly do you want? I'll do exactly what you assign me to do. If Tim or Rain have an article that I need to write, they are going to tell me exactly what they want out of that. And I'm working to serve them in those cases. So, No editing at Jock Lindsay's for me. Maybe posting some Instagram stories though.
If Tatiana lets you do it. And I do agree, she's really great. And I love working with Rain and Tim. Rain is how I started writing for y'all.
Yes, I
because
know.
She the city I live in, Gulfport, I don't know if she lives here or lives adjacent to it or what, but she and I started talking and it was just like, oh, hey, what is your full-time job? And oh, hey, do you need any writers? That sounds like a great gig. And I know she and Tim are super passionate. And, you know, I was very surprised to find out anybody didn't live in Florida because it definitely feels very Florida forward.
Yeah.
What do you do other when you come down here? Do you go off property? Do you ever have chances to venture off or is it all just work for you?
It is kind of a hybrid of work and pleasure. The last couple of years, obviously with the pandemic, if we have been going down, it has been more for like very specific work related things. But in the past, we've loved to be able to go out and explore, like the Cocoa Beach area. That's especially convenient if you're going on a Disney cruise, go there for a day or two before and explore that area. I have spent some time exploring the other theme parks in Orlando as well. I really want to get more into, especially immediately around Disney. I've been reading a lot these last couple of years while I've been cooped up at home, but I've been reading a lot about the things that are happening in Winter Garden and Windermere and Celebration, kind of those communities immediately around Disney that I like to explore a lot more. I've been down to Tampa. My husband spent some time in Miami prior to meeting me. So I think if we were able to move down there for part of the year, we'd be able to explore a lot more. We have friends who absolutely raved about going kayaking. I don't even remember where, but like somewhere where they're
anywhere.
Anywhere in Florida, somewhere they had like a clear kayak and they, it was full of nature and plants and animals. And, that just sounds like really nice to me. And I need to make more of an effort when we go down to carve out some personal vacation time where I'm off the clock and I can do those things.
Well, there's definitely a lot. I know close to, the property, there's a lot of bioluminescent kayaking, which might be what your friends did with the clear kayaks where you can kayak. And if there's bioluminescence, you can see it. There's definitely a lot to do there. If you have time to venture next time, you definitely need to make time to get into the Ocala National Forest because, and I don't know if you know this, Walt Disney's parents were the first marriage in Lake County.
Wow.
They were the first recorded marriage in Lake County and their hometown is now, it's gone. It's not their hometown because they had moved, their parents had moved them down here. And it's now part of the Ocala National Forest. And then there's Akron, A-K-R-O-N, mm-hmm. and then another town. So that's maybe an hour away. And Perfect. There's nothing there. I mean, there's nothing that says here is the site of whatever, but it is kind of an interesting bit of Florida history. We always assume that Disney came down here and just sort of said, well, this is a great place to exploit. But in reality, what I suspect happened, and I started thinking mm-hmm. about this a lot when the Imagineers redesigned Disney Springs, is mm-hmm. that Disney's parents were married here. They met mm-hmm. here. They grew up here. And then you know, Disney's dad kind of moved all over. It wasn't yeah. just Missouri. It was all over. But from what I understand, his aunt still stayed in the area. And he and Roy used to spend summers down here. And I just remember when they built Disney Springs, all mm-hmm. I kept thinking is, man, this is like what a little boy remembers of. And of yeah. course, you know, Walt Disney wasn't alive to see Disney Springs built. Sure. But I've always felt like there was a really strong tie to what they were trying to recreate.
Yeah.
And what that. It must have been like as a child, Walt and Roy Disney to play in Springs in Florida and things like that.
That's that's very like tied to my nostalgia for Disney. So like if that is true, they're thinking about their childhood memories and then they're building their business around those childhood memories by building up Walt Disney World. The reason that I got into writing and creating content and building out this magazine was because I loved going to Disney as a kid. We usually went to Disneyland because I grew up in Vancouver on the West Coast, so it was much closer, but we did go to Disney World from time to time. And my family, like, we didn't have that much money, but we would save up for like 2, 3, 4 years at a time. And then that would be our vacation. And it really instilled in me that, that drive, you work really hard for something that you really want, something that's magical. And then you get that treat of getting to go on vacation. And not only was Disney this magical place, you walk in, you see the castle, there's princesses everywhere. But also for me, it was those family, it was that family connection time and family ties, because back in the 90s, there, you know, people weren't walking around with iPhones. So my dad worked a lot. And when we would go to the parks, you're just standing in line. There's nothing to do. People weren't bringing like video games for their kids to play in line or anything. You just stood there and talked. So for a week or two, every 3 or 4 years, I would get to have my dad's full undivided attention, my brother and I, and we'd like talk to him and like get to know things. And like, my mom was a stay-at-home mom, so she knew more of what was going on with us. But it was like a very special time for my family, and it always stuck with me. And when I met my husband, we were in university, and I was like, I need to take you to Disney. Like, you need to understand this part about me. And it's not just, and he's like, oh, Disney, commercialism, whatever. And I was like, yes, okay, it's commercialism, but like, relax, you'll get a churro, you'll be fine, you'll be happy with your treat, but you need to understand this.
You'll get a churro, you'll be fine. I want that on a t-shirt. Yeah.
But it was very much like, this is a core memories of me and really infused who I am as a person, not only because of the IP and the storytelling and all of that, but it's that escape from the everyday. It's that way that you can connect with your family. My extended family also loves Disney, and occasionally we would do big family trips out there. And I remember very early on in my relationship with my husband, he was at our house. It was summer vacation or something. We went home to spend some time with my family, and my aunts and my uncles and my godparents, my cousins, like everybody's over, and somebody just said something and the whole room burst out into singing Tiki Room. And Danny is just looking at me like, what am I getting into? And he really had no idea, because now he's our creative director and he's totally into it. So, it's so nice that people can come to Disney later in life, or they can come to it very early in life and still develop different kinds of, like very personal connections with the brand.
No, I get that. I get that. I actually, have a lot of memories as a kid, of course. Mm-hmm. But honestly, more as an adult, you know, it's just, my husband was also not a huge fan because he had been a million years ago. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just forced him to go. And now it's just a very easy place to go. We go for entertainment, the food. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's days we go out there, we don't ride anything. I don't really need to ride the rides.
Yep.
I just go out there, but it's just a nice little different type of oasis.
And I love your point about not having to ride all the rides, but also about it being this nice, like, relaxing escape, because for me, that's what Disney is. I also really love traveling the world. I love going to Europe and going to Asia. I have big plans to go to South America soon. But all of those bigger world travels, they can be really stressful. You're navigating new, and it's exciting too. Like, you're navigating these new unknown parts. You have language barriers, or you're not really sure how something works culturally. And you're trying to figure out where the trains go and you can't read the signs. And like, it's wonderful. But when I go to Disney, I'm like, I know what's going on here. It's familiar. It's comfortable. I can just relax and enjoy myself. And I don't have to plan, because I've been enough times. I don't have to plan everything. I don't have to go on every ride every time. I can just soak in the atmosphere here and feel that escape.
That's probably pretty accurate. That's how I feel about mostly all of Florida, but I get that it is definitely more of a little special thing when you're at the quote unquote happiest place on earth, which I can't disagree with. We are about out of time. This has gone by like mad. Thank you, Stephanie, for joining us.
And thank you so much for having me.
No, it's been great. It's always wonderful to have people from different parts of Florida. I think sometimes we get caught up on thinking that we only want to talk about real Florida in terms of what's great. You have to remember that Florida is different things to different people. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you would come and share your Florida with us. So thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. My name's Kathy Celestri. I've been your host. Our guest this week on the Florida Spectacular has been Stephanie Schuster. We'll see you next time.